Teller Brimbor is one of the most important but tragic figures in the history of Middle-earth, a story filled with unrequited love and bad decisions. So, what is the legend of Teller Brimbor? Hi everyone, this is Robert. Welcome to In Deep Geek. On this channel, we cover The Lord of the Rings and Tolkien's wider legendarium in nerdy detail, as well as A Song of Ice and Fire and The Witcher. Welcome. It is perhaps appropriate when talking about Celebrimbor that we start not with him, but with his grandfather Feanor, the mightiest and greatest of all the children of Ilúvatar, the elf whose actions resounded through history. He and his family were doomed by the Doom of Mandos. Feanor himself and his sons all had tragic fates, but Feanor's line did not end with his seven sons. He had one grandchild who inherited much of his greatest gift. That grandchild was Celebrimbor, the last of the Feanorians. And when I say that it is perhaps appropriate that we start by talking of Feanor, it is because so much of Celebrimbor's life and legacy was in the long shadow of Feanor, as we will see. Celebrimbor was born in Valinor, one of the Noldorin elves, son of Curufin, Feanor's favourite son and seemingly the one who most took after him, and an unnamed mother. As is so often the case for those years in Valinor, we know little of Celebrimbor's life or upbringing there, but we do know of the family divide that happened after Feanor raised up the Noldor elves in rebellion against the Valar's wishes, taking them over to Middle-earth. Because whereas Curufin, Celebrimbor's father, swore the oath and followed his father, taking Celebrimbor with him, Celebrimbor's mother stayed in Valinor. We don't even know how old Celebrimbor was when he left with his father, or how bought into it he was. However, it's clear that despite his lofty ancestry, Celebrimbor wasn't one of the main actors in the First Age. But when we do come across him, he seems to be lurching from one tragedy to the next. He was probably among the Noldor during the kinslaying of the Teleri elves and the Feanorians' initial attacks on Morgoth's forces in Middle-earth, which led to Feanor's death. He may not have been very old or engaged with it, we simply do not know, but it makes absolute sense that he was there or nearby. He was also almost certainly involved in some way in the Dagor Bragalath, the fourth great battle of Beleriand, in which Morgoth's armies finally broke the siege of Angband, and from there fled with his father to Nargothrond, the elven stronghold. Because it is there that we get our first official mention of him in the Silmarillion, when we are told that he repudiated the deeds of his father and uncle and stayed in Nargothrond while they were cast out from there. To be fair, his father's deeds did warrant repudiating. Abducting Lúthien alone was pretty heinous, but it was nevertheless surely a pretty foundational moment for Celebrimbor, disowning his own father. After this impressive first mention of Celebrimbor, he seems to have made Nargothrond his home until that was destroyed by the forces of Morgoth. From there he went to Gondolin and set up home there until that too was destroyed. Again he survived but was homeless, estranged from his family, exiled from the land of his birth. He also played no role worthy of mention by Tolkien in any of those great, albeit losing, battles of the First Age. Maybe he took part in them. Maybe he didn't. So why is he a legend? What made him so great in the Second Age after such an anonymous First Age? What changed? Well, after the climactic events at the end of the First Age, the Valar lifted their ban on the Noldorin elves returning to Valinor. There were probably a few exceptions, but it's clear that Celebrimbor decided to stay in Middle-earth. And in staying, when so many others returned or had died, he suddenly found himself one of the highest-ranked elves out there, the only living descendant of the truly legendary Feanor. Yes, Maglor may still have been around, but he was in no position to take on the leadership of anything. Celebrimbor was no longer just in the shadow of his more prominent family members. He was important. And partway into the Second Age, he came to rule a realm of his own, Ost-in-Ethil in Eregion. Crucially, his route into this seems not just to have been his family name, but his own burgeoning talent in crafting. It was hardly a surprise that Celebrimbor was good at crafting things. His grandfather was Feanor, of whom Tolkien said no craftsman was greater in all the days of the world. And Celebrimbor's father, Curufin, was known as Curufin the Crafty, who inherited most of his father's skill of hand. So Celebrimbor had quite an inheritance in craftsmanship, and it makes sense that by early in the Second Age he was heading up a group that became known as the Gwaith y Myrddain, the people of the jewelsmiths. They based themselves in Eregion, the lands just west of the Misty Mountain and close to the dwarven stronghold of Khazad-dûm, later Moria. And during this time, Celebrimbor produced his mighty works. One legend has him creating a replica of the Elessar for Galadriel, a jewel with the light of the sun captured within it. If you looked through it, you could see the old and decrepit as they were when they were young, and it had powers of healing. We know that he inscribed the runes on the doors of Durin, the great west door of Moria that the Fellowship were stuck outside for a while. Celebrimbor's name is even written there on the door. Celebrimbor of Holin drew these signs. Gandalf reads it out. And most importantly, of course, he made the Rings of Power. We'll come on to them in just a second, because I said that Celebrimbor's life was tragic, and despite his success with crafting things, tragedy was still following him. He had lost the last of his family at the end of the First Age, and now in the Second Age, he finds love, but it is unrequited. Celebrimbor fell in love with Galadriel, at least in one version of the Legendarium. Galadriel, however, did not love him back, instead marrying Celeborn at some point. We don't know all of the ins and outs of this. Tolkien changed his mind several times on the details of what Galadriel and Celeborn were up to in the First and Second Ages, but we do know that if it was there, Celebrimbor's love was unrequited, and he seems to have thrown himself into his work, perhaps secretly hoping to forge ever more beautiful creations for Galadriel, and that partway through the Second Age, Galadriel and Celeborn had a child, and then eventually Galadriel left Eregion to rule a new land, Lothlorien. Celebrimbor had hoped to find love and a family of his own, but gained neither. Even Christopher Tolkien found it hard to navigate this part of Galadriel, Celeborn and Celebrimbor's histories in his father's notes, but we do know that in a slightly weird elvish way, there are echoes here of Feanor's own fascination with Galadriel. It was said that the light of the two trees of Valinor was captured in her gold and silver hair. Feanor asked for a tress of it three times and was refused three times. But still he managed to capture the light of the two trees in the Silmarils. Celebrimbor apparently captured the light of the sun in the Elessar, like grandfather, like grandson, I suppose. But let's move on. It was during this low ebb, or perhaps high creative flow, that Sauron entered the scene. He was disguised as Annatar, the Lord of Gifts, and he brought with him knowledge of how to forge mighty rings of power, exactly the kind of thing that Celebrimbor loved. As an aside, some have wondered how the elves could fall for Annatar's, Sauron's deception here. The simple answer is that some didn't fall for it, Gil-galad, Elrond and Galadriel, for example, and those that did not know that he was Sauron. The magic and craft in creating the rings was not an evil in and of itself. Indeed, Celebrimbor seems to have embraced ring creation as a way of preventing the decay of the earth, which touches on one of the key themes of Tolkien's Legendarium. Valinor, home to the Valar and where the elves returned to, was known as the Undying Lands. Everything there was undying. Middle-earth, by contrast, had its cycle of life and death and slow decay. The elves of Middle-earth who had lived in Valinor felt a deep restlessness connected to this, and so Celebrimbor's attempts to find a way to arrest the decay of Middle-earth are understandable, laudable even in their own way. It's telling that the rings he forged, that weren't corrupted by Sauron's touch, did have great powers of preservation and renewal. Galadriel and Elrond used theirs to protect and preserve Lothlorien and Rivendell, and Gandalf's ring helped to keep him from wearying in his task, even when hope was fading all around him. This is how Tolkien put it in one of his letters. There was nothing wrong essentially in the elves lingering against council. They wanted the peace and bliss and perfect memory of the West, and yet to remain on the ordinary earth where they had prestige as the highest people. They thus became obsessed with fading, the mode in which the changes of time was perceived by them. They became sad, and their art, shall we say, antiquarian, and their efforts all really a kind of embalming, even though they also retained the old motive of their kind, the adornment of earth and the healing of its hurts. But many of the elves listened to Sauron. He was still fair in that early time, and his motives and those of the elves seemed to go partly together, the healing of the desolate lands. Sauron found their weak point in suggesting that, helping one another, they could make Western Middle-earth as beautiful as Valinor. At Oregion, great work began. With the aid of Sauron's law, they made rings of power. The chief power, of all the rings alike, was the prevention or slowing of decay, i.e. change viewed as a regrettable thing, the preservation of what is desired or loved, or its semblance. We should pause for a moment to just acknowledge how great an achievement this is. Rings of such power that they could hold back the ravages of time. Celebrimbor is known as the greatest of elven smiths in the Second Age for a reason. But of course, whatever good intentions Celebrimbor may have had, he was duped. Sauron slipped back to Mordor and forged the One Ring, through which he thought he could control the wearers of the other rings of power. It is perhaps to Celebrimbor's credit that as soon as he knew what was happening, he sought out Galadriel for her advice and distributed the three rings to wise owners far from Oregion, where Sauron would surely attack. Sauron did attack, and Oregion did fall. Sauron found the rings of power that were there, but of the three most powerful, there was no sign. Sauron tortured Celebrimbor to death, but he still would not reveal their locations. As a gruesome end to this tragic life, Sauron's forces strung his ruined body up onto a pole and used it as a banner in battle with the elves. As another aside, the Shadow of Mordor and Shadow of War video games provide an intriguing postscript to all this, with Celebrimbor stealing the One Ring from Sauron, being corrupted by it, becoming doomed never to have his spirit return to Valinor, forging a second One Ring, and so on. But these are not canon, or even Tolkienian. The games are fun, but they are a long way from Celebrimbor's official history. And to be honest, I actually think that Celebrimbor's tale works a lot better without the non-canonical postscript. Tolkien made much of the echoes between Celebrimbor and his famous grandfather Feanor, for good reason. Both were legendary craftsmen. Both were deceived by great evil characters pretending to be good, Morgoth with Feanor and Sauron with Celebrimbor. Both created many wonders, but their greatest accomplishments were three magical items that preserved something of good. Feanor's Silmarils preserving the light of the two trees of Valinor, and Celebrimbor's three elven rings that preserved what was good in Middle-earth. Morgoth greatly desired the three Silmarils, and Sauron greatly desired the three elven rings. The echoes are unmissable. But I think Tolkien would rather have us examine the clear contrast between the two stories, and by strong implication, the two characters. Feanor's Silmarils had a dark side, corrupting those around them, filling them with a lust to have them and paranoia that others may try to steal them. The three elven rings were the opposite, bringing hope and light and life wherever they were. Feanor's response to being double-crossed by Morgoth was hatred, anger, and ignoring all advice to risk everything to reclaim the Silmarils. Celebrimbor's response to Sauron's betrayal was to seek wise counsel and then give away the three rings of power. Celebrimbor is almost the anti-Feanor. Feanor urged his family on into evil deeds. Celebrimbor saw his father's evil deeds and disowned him. Feanor wanted to take from Galadriel. He desired locks of her beautiful hair. Celebrimbor never asked, but just gave to her things of beauty he had created, perhaps through unrequited love. Feanor's desire for his own creations led to the deaths of his family. Celebrimbor gave up his greatest creations and sacrificed his own life to save those he had given them to. Celebrimbor shows us that we are not just who we were born to be. Celebrimbor was not just the last living descendant of Feanor. Our ancestry is important, Tolkien is saying, but the evils of our ancestors should never hold us back from doing good in our time. Reading Celebrimbor's tragic story, you get the impression that he never achieved the peace and family that he so dearly desired. but his legacy is a truly great one. The proof that elves and dwarves can be friends is literally written on stone on the gates of Moria. The healing powers of the Stone of Elisar found their fruition more than 3 millennia after his death. And above all, there are the 3 elven rings that kept the flame of hope burning against Sauron throughout the long Second and Third Ages. Born amidst great pain and tragedy, yet still uncorrupted, preserving life and preserving hope in dark times. That is Celebrimbor's legacy. Not who he was born to be, but who he chose to be. He died to protect and give hope to people he would never even know. A true legend of Middle-earth. If you'd like to see more Lord of the Rings videos, please click on the link to the playlist on the left of your screen. Or if you'd like to support this channel, thank you. There's a link to my Patreon page on the right of your screen. That's all for this time. Thanks for watching. I'll see you again soon.